Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1 in verse 4 that Jesus Christ gave his blood that he might rescue us from the present evil age. And I thought about that. Mike and I both thought about what it means to live now in the present evil age. And sometimes it's easy, I think, to forget that. That the time we live in now is the present evil age, but sometimes it's not so easy to forget that. I was talking to a guy recently, and kind of had a breakdown. I asked to kind of hear his story a little bit. Turns out he had just, for an entire year, been living basically at the bottom of the bottle. I asked him why, what's going on? I mean, what are you dealing with that, you know, you feel like your life is falling apart? And he told me a story. A while back, he was with his friend, best friend in the whole wide world, and he was going to be the best man to his friend's wedding. And so it was him, his best friend, and his best friend's fiance in a truck. And while they were driving, his best friend's fiance has an aneurysm. And he pulls over real quick. And they can't do anything about it. She basically dies in their arms. And he started weeping and saying, you know, I couldn't save her. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have the power to do anything. And yet at the same time, he held the belief that it was all his fault. That I should have been there to save her. I should have been there to bear that burden. I should have been there to be able to help her out. And as I was listening to his story, I thought, what am I supposed to say to this? Have you guys ever been in a situation where you're trying to help somebody and, you know, you're the Christian. You're supposed to be the answer person. And yet you don't know what to say. I wrestled with that, and I thought about all the various things that we suffer from today, whether it be poverty, corruption, sin of all sorts and colors, addictions, abuse, death, isolation, feelings of being forgotten, disillusionment, divorce, struggling with your faith, maybe losing a job. There's so many things that assail us day in and day out. What I want to do at the beginning of this worship period, kind of like we did last week, is I want to allow everyone in this room just a moment of silence. Now here in a moment, we're going to take a time just to pray silently for ourselves, for something that we're going through, or maybe you know somebody who is going through some intense grief and suffering right now, and they really need your prayer. But I want you to allow yourself just to begin to fade away from my words and just to think, to be a little introspective for a moment. Let's take a second for silent prayer and reflection. Go ahead and bow your heads. And I want you in this moment just to give to God whatever it is that you're going through and to meditate on whatever evil has befallen you or someone close to you, someone that you know. turned so far from our cries. Why don't you hear our groaning? Why are you so silent? Almighty God, in our moments of walking through the valley, we want to believe the words of the psalmist who says that you are our shepherd and that you walk with us. But so often, Father, we are confronted with your silence and it is deafening. Do you care about us? Do you not see what's happening in your world? How long must we endure through the sufferings of this evil age? Father, you have promised that you have loved us and you have received Jesus in heaven, and from heaven we await our Savior. And we pray with the church, oh, come, Lord Jesus. But yet we have waited so long. Father, grant us patience. Grant us the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Teach us how to deal with our pain. And be not so far away from us. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. And amen. I want to ask you a pointed question, if I could. And I want you to take this moment to really think about how you would answer. And the question is simply this: how do you deal with pain? When you're going through something, when you are through the battle, how do you deal with that? I mean, there's a lot of ways that we are dealing with pain. Today, the world offers many ways that we can deal with it. Sometimes, how we deal with pain, some ways that we deal with pain are worse than others, admittedly. But what do we do with it? I think if you think about your own story, or maybe about someone close to you, it all sort of boils down to escape, right? We're in pain, and we have to escape. We have to get out of this thing. Some specific ways that we do it is distraction. Trying to distract ourselves. We try to numb. We try to dull the pain that we're going through. We try to forget what's happening. We pretend that it's not there. Maybe we deal with it with humor, right? Alcohol, drugs, pleasure, Netflix. Now, who hasn't binge-watched a season of Netflix in their pain? Excess. That buy it now button on Amazon Prime. All these ways, food, in which we deal with our pain. There's got to be a better way to do this. And so at this time, I want to invite Micah as he leads us in further reflection and exposition.
But you, O Lord, how long? For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I'm weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. For the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall be turned back and put to shame in a moment.
In Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I've prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. In Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm a man who has no strength. Like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they're cut off from your hand. You've put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You've caused my companions to shun me. You've made me a horror to them. I'm shut in, so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes to you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I'm helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You've caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. These are three of the most raw, honest, heart-wrenching psalms of lament that we have. Psalms of crying and weeping and grieving towards God and with God. Came across a quote a few months ago from a pretty respected Hebrew scholar on lament. This is what was said. Lament does not aim at a solution to a problem. It aims at the articulation of pain, with the conviction that it's not just whining, but meaningful communication, that someone is listening. Listen to that again. Lament, the kinds of psalms we just heard, does not aim at a solution to a problem. It aims at the articulation of pain with the conviction that it's not just whining, but meaningful communication, that someone is listening. I want to help fix problems. Whether, no matter what hat I'm wearing, if I'm evangelist, teacher, counselor, brother, husband, father, I want to fix problems. You come to me with a problem, And I want to draw from the wisdom of God and the power of God, whether it's in prayer or turning to Scripture or whatever. And here's how we're going to fix this. And here's how we're going to navigate this. And here's how we can work on this. And that's good and right and perfectly biblical sometimes. But sometimes there aren't quick solutions. There aren't quick fixes. There aren't, the pain runs deeper. The problems are much more long lasting. There aren't quick, cheap answers. And giving cheap answers to deep pain is harmful. And it certainly undermines the power and the grace of God. And so even though sometimes there aren't these just ready answers, it's not that we're left aimless. A vital part of our life with God in this present evil age is learning to grieve with God. Not settling for the world's distractions from pain, but letting grief run its natural and healthy course in the Lord. We need to learn to grieve. We need to learn to let grief run its course. I'm trying to turn a page here. I can't get a hold of it. We need to let grief run its course. Many psalms begin with intense grief and pain. You saw that in Psalm 6 and 13. But there was, even in those intense statements, there's this little note of hope or some optimism and whether the praise is present tense or future tense, there's still some optimism in it. But not all psalms are like that, right? We have psalms like Psalm 88, the last one that I just read, that ends with no optimism, that ends with no confidence, assurance, and hope. The grief just keeps running. And we need psalms like Psalm 88 because that's so real and true to life, right? The reality is we don't just say a prayer, okay, it's all better. We don't just sing a song, okay, it's all better. We're meant to wrestle, and we're meant to search out, and we're meant to cry out, and we're meant to wait toward God and with God. And so again, we need to learn healthy grieving. We need to let grief run its course in the Lord. We need to direct our grief toward the Lord. We need to cry out, groan, wrestle, ask questions, shed our politeness in prayer. Not reverence, but politeness. Sometimes our prayers are polished and polite and not necessarily honest. Shed our politeness in prayer. Be brutally honest, raw and real. Like Job. Like the psalmist. Like Paul. Like Jesus. We would say things like, everything is not okay. This is not fair. I can't handle this. This hurts so bad. I'm afraid. Why? How long? Do you care? Do you really love us? Have you abandoned me? These feelings and these questions may offend our sensibilities, may challenge our tendency to put on that church face and act like everything's okay. But these are profoundly honest feelings and questions. And these are profoundly biblical feelings and questions. When we experience pain and grief, we need to be turning to God with this kind of authentic, honest faith. Asking these questions is not a sign of weak faith. And let's be totally upfront about that. It's not a sign of weak faith. Asking these questions is a sign of honest faith. And so often in Scripture, what we see, having this kind of honest faith leads to stronger faith. Reality is, it's in suppressing these kinds of questions. That's the sign of weak faith. And that's a far greater concern and far more dangerous. The bottom line is we need to grieve with the Lord. And so our devotion this morning is not aimed at a solution to a problem, but aimed at the articulation of pain. With the conviction that it's not just whining, but meaningful communication that someone is listening, that our Father is listening. And so we turn to these psalms of lament, these rich gifts of God to lead us and guide us and teach us that we may learn to grieve with God. Let me read Psalm 88 again. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles. My life draws near to Sheol. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm a man who has no strength. Like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more. They're cut off from your hand. You've put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me. You overwhelm me with all your waves. You've caused my companions to shun me. You've made me a horror to them. I'm shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up and praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I'm helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You've caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. I don't know if that hits you today and you're there, but I'm almost certain that at some point in our life, you have been there or you will be there. Again, let's take a moment to just stop and be still. We think about how often the psalmists or the prophets say, be still. And yet how rarely we actually do that. Or how often, wait. How rarely we do that. Or Habakkuk, when he cries out to God with all his questions, and then he just says, I'm going to be silent and wait. And so again, we'll take a moment just to be silent and to reflect, and to pause, and to take a breath, and then we'll pray. O God, see our pain. See the hurt in our heart. See our anxieties. See our fears. See the hurt, the loss, the sadness. See our frustrations. See all the things that are going on in our lives, all the challenges and the weight that piles up on us. The stresses in our daily life and the great pains and overwhelming burdens that we face. See our job losses. See our stress at work. See the pain from divorce. See the heartache from broken relationships. See the sorrow in our hearts from those that we've lost. Our loved ones who have died, who we miss, who we'd love to call or go see face to face and hug. See the pressures we feel when we walk into a room. We're wrestling with anxiety. See our sickness, chronic pains, aches, suffering, and the fear, how tired we get. Father, see the things that ensnare us and enslave us and that hold us down. We know you are a great King and that you have made promises, and we know that you are faithful and that you are gracious and that you are love. And so we ask you to act in your faithfulness, in your grace, and in your love. See our pain and respond. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close our devotion this morning singing a song. Psalms are prayers to be prayed, but they're also songs to be sung. And we're not in the tradition of just singing from the book of Psalms, as has been, you know, a tradition for so many years throughout the faith. And so not being in that tradition, we may lose the gift of singing lament. I came across an article, again, several months ago, and the title was called Belting Out the Blues as Believers, the Importance of Singing Lament. And that title caught my attention, right? But even without reading the article, you know, intuitively, you knew, yeah, this is right on. Again, we have these blues songs, so to speak, in our Bibles, in our ancient hymnal, in the book of Psalms. And so it's not only important that we grieve with God in prayer, but that we have space in our singing for this as well. If you open up the back page in our songbooks, you'll recognize that we have a shortage of lament songs. The closest that we can get to that is the song that we're going to sing in just a minute, Night with Eben Pinion. And if we have ears to hear as we sing this song, I think what we'll find is not only the articulation of pain, as we've looked at in the Psalms of Lament, but we'll hear God whisper. Again, if we have ears to hear, we'll hear God whisper that solution to our problem, that answer to our problem. And it's not just a cheap answer, a quick answer, a quick fix. It's a profound answer. And so we'll sing Night with Eben Pinion. I'd like to leave this song and sing it quite slowly and softly. You'll notice there's going to be a hold at the end of the second line. When we get to that hold, we're going to raise the volume and sing the third line very loudly. And then we'll come back and sing the fourth line quietly. Don't feel like you have to memorize all that. Follow my lead, but I just want to say that in advance so that it doesn't throw you off. Night with Eben Pinion.
Scripture reading from Judges chapter 13, verses 3 through 7, page 213 in the Pew Bible. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for this child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" Now this